The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
My name is Albert Lewis, Jr.
And I'm Alan McIntyre. And together we welcome you back to our show, Black on Black Commentary. And the intended audience for our show is the black community, yet others are encouraged and welcome to tune in. Each and every one of us has a unique bias when it comes to change or certain subjects. And I should warn you that the content of our program episodes is probably unlike anything you've heard coming out of the black community.
Again, I'd like to welcome you back and encourage you to keep an open mind and think for yourself. If you're not African American, we hope you'll listen in to our show as well. Our program is intended to educate our listeners and provoke serious thought. Each of our episodes will deal with a different topic of importance. Are you ready for some open and honest black-on-black commentary? Great, because it's time we talked.
So how was that jury duty, Albert?
Well, I'm not really allowed to talk about it, but one thing I can tell you, as a black man, I hope never, ever to be down there in front of a jury. I'd rather be part of it than be judged by one, because it was a madhouse down there. So that just reaffirmed my determination to never, ever put myself in a situation where I'd be judged by a jury down there.
Well, Albert, I was pretty excited when I saw the show topics that you emailed over to me. As soon as I got these topics, I began to write a response to each and every one of those topics.
I can't wait to hear it.
Good. And I can't wait to share them with you. For example, your first topic is origins of stereotypes. And obviously, you're referring to stereotypes in the black community.
Absolutely. Now, basically, you know, derived from slavery and the whole issue of inferiority.
Well, let me give you my first response to stereotypes with regard to the black community. We create a profile or representation of ourselves based on things like dress, body language, and attitude. Now, based off of that, people have an image or stereotype or idea of who you are or what you portray yourself as. With that being said, most stereotypes are based largely on truth.
Absolutely.
And if you take a cursory glance, you can very quickly reveal that that is the case.
I can't argue with that. It confounds me, and I have a hard time understanding why the average black person, especially inner city people, don't understand that. When the civil rights era first started, I was a young kid in junior high school. I had never really considered race that much growing, going to elementary, primary and elementary school and basically segregated classrooms. They weren't segregated by law, but it was just by where people lived at the time. But when I got to junior high, I went to sort of an integrated environment, and that's when the civil rights era started. And I remember sitting in the classroom thinking, being stung by the idea that they thought I was inferior just because I have a black skin. And I remember vowing to myself that I'm going to be smarter and get better grades than any white kid in my classes. And for the most part, it was true, but only because most of those white kids came from the same socioeconomic strata that I was from. I grew up in the projects, mostly black, probably 99% black. And those white kids that went to junior high school with me, they were coming from projects of mostly white people. And so we came from the same strata. But I don't understand how anybody came through the civil rights era thinking that you were going to somehow be successful by making yourself completely different, rejecting the standard, and somehow being successful in this environment. I've strived never to be a stereotype. If the stereotype is loud and boisterous, I'm going to be quiet and thoughtful. If Absolutely. The stereotype is uneducated, I'm going to get as much education as possible. And I don't understand why most black people don't think that way. But evidently, they don't.
Well, enough said. Let's move on to the modern perpetuation of stereotypes. With regard to that, I believe that actions reveal and perpetuate reality, and often in the Black community, people refer to stereotypes as if they are baseless or merely a concoction of some other group or some agenda-driven entity that wishes to hold a group of people back, specifically hold Blacks back. Now let me get political with this and make it clear that the left is deeply invested in the perpetuation of the idea that these negative stereotypes we are referring to are the clandestine work of the right.
No, in fact, on a daily basis, we have Black people acting and behaving in a way that reinforces the stereotypes and justifies any racism that some white person might feel. So if let's face the facts. If every Black person, that's not going to happen because it doesn't happen in the white community. But let's just say in a perfect world where every Black person strive to be everything that we could be to borrow a phrase, got as much education as they can, didn't have babies they couldn't afford, stayed off drugs, stayed out of prison, then I don't think racism would be as strong as it is now because there would be no basis for it. And so from my point of view, Black people that perpetuate the stereotypes actually perpetuate racism too.
I agree. Absolutely, I agree. And the role of affirmative action, first of all, I'd like to say that I hate affirmative action. Absolutely hate affirmative action.
I think it had a place in our society, but it's long past its usefulness.
I would agree that if it did have a place, yes, it is long beyond its usefulness at this point. I believe that affirmative action is nothing more than an affirmation of someone's willingness to benefit from labeling someone as inferior and then pretending to be their advocate for the sake of political gain. That's where I see it at today with regard to the political parties, more specifically the Democrat Party is exploiting the Black community. When you look at their promotion of affirmative action.
Yeah, right. Well, the left uses affirmative action as a tool, as a weapon against the right to hammer them with it. I don't think they're interested, per se, in elevating the masses. They just use it as a weapon, basically.
Well let me give you this working definition for affirmative action. Affirmative action is insulting and nothing more than an expected entitlement that suppresses work ethic and intellect. That's how I summed it up last night when I was going over these particular topics.
At one point in time in the past, it was effective in that the opportunities were not equal. Let's face the facts. That's just history.
Mm-hmm.
But now, in this day and age, opportunities are there. All you have to do is keep your ducks in a row, stay clean, get as much education as you possibly can, and you don't need affirmative action. You don't need to have the government saying to some company that's owned by white people, you need to hire a certain number of Blacks, because in that environment, Black people have their own companies. And if they want to hire their own people, fine. Everything is equal. But affirmative action is only, to me, necessary for people now who don't want to strive to meet the standard. And when you rely on affirmative action because you can't meet the standard, in a sense, you're reaffirming inferiority because you're saying that I can't compete on an equal basis, you know, with my white counterpart.
Well said. I see you have your government record reporting of vital statistics. Now, we kind of touched on this briefly a few shows back.
Yeah.
So that jumped out at me when I saw that. Just kind of tell me, reiterate that to me again.
Think about it. Whenever the government publishes some vital statistics, some information, they always give the white numbers, and then invariably they give the Black numbers that are lower.
And sometimes they'll throw in the Asian numbers that trump everybody's.
That's true.
And then they'll sprinkle in the Hispanic numbers.
But not very often. Usually it's to emphasize the fact that the Black numbers are lower. To my way of thinking,
Let me finish.
I don't know. To justify spending extra money on affirmative action programs, probably.
So you're headed in the right direction, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's to justify, the liberal wing of the government is to justify their social spending.
And as if to say
that these numbers is a reason
why. Validate what we're saying. Oh, okay. Now, let me give you my take on this.
But there's a downside. The downside to that is the mental image that you project to minorities.
I'm glad you brought that up.
It's thrown in our face all the time, and here are the numbers to prove it.
I knew you were going to go there, but that's nobody's fault.
Yeah, it is. It's black people's fault.
Yeah, absolutely. That's where I was going. I'm sorry. Nobody's fault, other than black people.
I look at it this way. What if you had two sons? One was athletic.
I've heard this before.
One was not. And the athlete was your pride and joy. Okay? But no two people are born the same. Would you throw it up another kid's face that your brother is a better athlete than you? You know, it's possible the other son might have other attributes that are worthy of just as much praise. But you're the old jock. You're living vicariously through your son. He's mm-hmm. doing things that you wish you could have done. But it's not fair, and it's not mentally healthy for you to throw it up in your other son's face every time your son accomplishes something, because there will be psychological consequences for that. And I think that's the situation we have.
As far as examples go, that was a good example, but I think wasn't applicable to this situation.
Oh, I think it definitely is.
But I will say this.
Because why else do black people have this psychological block to participating or competing?
Well, let me say this. I think that has more to do with home life. But as far as these vital statistics, let me say this. I want to be clear. I think they're necessary. I think it's totally fair to state these statistics. And I think that they are absolute. It's reality. Numbers don't lie.
It is.
So
it's reality.
If you want to get over it, or if you're embarrassed by it, don't become a statistic. Just say that. Now, seasonal violence, comparison to animals.
Yeah.
Elaborate on that, because you touched on that before.
Listen to the news. The bears go into hibernation. The swallows return to Capistrano. And in the summertime, when the heat is on, the murder rate in the black community goes up.
Stop. Now, my response to that, wait, stop. Pause for 1 second.
Comparing us to animals. And I'm starting to hear this too much. It's a fact. I can't
deny
it.
Who's comparing us to these animals? Because I hear black people in the barbershops and abuse. As spring begins to usher itself in, what are you hearing in the black community? They about to start killing each other and crime rates going to go up, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. You hear that, right?
Right.
So let me just say this. The human animal often resembles the wild, less intelligent four-legged animal.
Well, as for a fact, we are animals, and we are an adversarial species. I believe that about human beings. And I'm not knocking on the news organizations, because they're just reporting the facts. But to me, I'm knocking on the black people out there in the street that's giving them this comparison, these facts. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying the news organizations are wrong. My whole thing about blacks and stereotypes is that it's self-induced. And to me, it's humiliating and embarrassing for them to be able to make this comparison. And that's why I think we, as black people, especially black people who consider themselves middle class or whatever else, have let poor black people down, because we don't hold them accountable for this mess.
We don't, not at all.
And that's the problem. I think that's a big part of the problem.
Failure of black leaders and middle class to admit black responsibility.
Yeah, perfect segue to that.
Well, let me say this. There are privileges and benefits to taking no responsibility, and the left has made a political living doing just that.
Yeah, okay, but the right also, because of the boogeyman about being called a racist, that the conservative right also does not hold not only black poor people, but white poor people and poor people in general to a higher standard.
Good point.
You should not be able to go to the government and expect the government to take money out of my pocket and give to you. I don't care what color you are, because you didn't keep your butt in school and you having babies you can't afford. There is no way in hell a government, whether it's a conservative administration or a liberal socialist administration, to be able to do that. And they're all guilty of it.
Well, I like what you said about the conservatives, because I address that all the time with my conservative Caucasian friends. And you said they're as responsible because
absolutely
they won't address it for fear of being called racist. Mm-hmm. And what you've heard me say this before. I always tell my Caucasian friends that if you're not being called a racist, you're not doing your job. I'm sorry, my conservative Caucasian friends. Because the more conservative you are, the more principled you are, they are going to call you a racist. They've been trained to do that.
Right, absolutely. But and if you fall for it, that's too bad. But I look at it this way. If you care about a group of people, and I don't care what your political bent is, if you care about a group of people, you know that giving them something reduces their incentive, reduces their self-dependence, reduces their initiative, reduces their self-esteem, and that's going to affect them, the kids they raise, and future generations, and affect the health of the country. So why in the hell don't you have the courage to say, no, no more of this? I don't care if you do call me a racist. This has got to end. We have got to put an end to it.
Well, let me wrap up that particular topic by saying that accountability is the quickest way to empowerment. You know, once you accept accountability for something, you empower yourself, I believe, because now I've owned it. That means that nobody else other than me is responsible. So guess what? I don't have to wait on anybody else to step in to solve this problem. Right. I can solve it myself.
Right. Well, the solution is going to have to come out of the black community. There's
Absolutely.
No doubt about that. Because if you're spending 24/7 trying to screw up your life, there's no way some sympathetic party, you know, like they say, the successful blacks are not giving back to the community. Even if you spent 50% of your time giving back, if they're spending 24/7 screwing up their lives, there's no way you can compensate for that.
So, I don't even subscribe to that whole giving back concept.
Right, so the solution has to come from them. It has to, because they are the only ones, in the first place, there's so many of them, that you're not going to have enough successful black people or successful minorities to go back and lift them up, give back and lift them up, as the saying goes. It has to come from them. But we have to hold them accountable. We have to say to them that you are the reason for the stereotypes, and you are the reason that you haven't made it. Because look at me, if you want to hold yourself up as an example, or look at these other people that have the same skin color as you, grew up in the same environment, maybe in the same household, but they didn't let racism hold them back. They didn't let any disadvantage they had in their raising hold them back. And if you did, it's your own fault.
Well, let me ask you this, Albert. Does Obama's failures create the biggest stereotype in the black community?
I've kind of touched on this before. Even though I voted for the man twice, he has been
Let me apologize for you.
No apology necessary. I took a chance on him. But he has been a huge disappointment to me, because he had a chance to make a huge difference in the black community. He had a chance to stand up there and say, yes, there's still racism. Yes, there were disadvantages in the past. There may be some disadvantages now. But if you try hard enough, if you genuinely want to achieve that you can overcome them, he don't have to stand up and say, look at me. It's going to be self-evident. He's a president of the United States. He's a living, breathing example. But he hasn't done that. And what he's done is try to promote the liberal socialist agenda, which is basically excuses people's failures. So in that sense, he's a big disappointment to me. But the way he's a stereotype is this, that as a president, I don't think he's a successful president, because I can only think of two initiatives, and both have been pretty much failures. His economic policy failure, and Obamacare. It's on the way to be a failure. So in a sense, he's become a stereotype in that he's shown that a black president can't be as successful as a white one. When you look at it, he came into the office at a time when we had a President Bush who pretty much screwed up, got us into a war we didn't need to be in, didn't finish the one we should have been fighting, and under his watch, the economy fell apart. He had a chance to ride in on a white horse, turn this thing around, and he could have cemented his place in history as one of the greatest presidents. But that's not what he did. He went on and tried to advance the liberal socialist agenda, and he blew the golden opportunity in the history of this country, I believe.
Well, I tried to warn everybody that Obama didn't have an American agenda. He had a Marxist agenda. And then as far as accountability, Obama teaches the black community not to be accountable based upon how he has governed this country. I tell you what he's done. He screwed up a great opportunity, one.
Yeah, no doubt.
Then he's blamed others for his failures, two. And as a result, he has inflamed and incited millions of Americans.
I agree.
So, and if when you put all that together, that's a recipe for failure. And he has been a gross failure.
And develop or produce a whole new level of stereotype, I think.
And poverty and joblessness in the black community.
And it needs to change. I don't know what it's going to take, but it definitely needs to change.
Absolutely.
Give us some thought, and together, perhaps we can all ensure our country's future history and have it be something we can be proud of.